We've gotten up to chapter 6 so far, so we're going to continue on. It's important, guys, that we understand who we are. Are we going to play the little video real quick? Let's do that. Let's play the little video, and then we'll get into understanding who we are.
The verse of the day says, I will give you more than you asked for. Be patient, trust me, and keep believing. What's coming is greater than what you lost. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Sometimes life feels heavy and doubts creep in like whispers in the night. But pause for a moment, breathe, and listen closely. Even when you're at your lowest, remember that God's promise is a tender assurance that His plan is far more beautiful than anything we could ever imagine. Every setback, every tear shed quietly in the dark is not the end of your story. Instead, they are the gentle strokes of a masterful artist, painting a canvas of hope with care and precision. God is preparing blessings beyond your wildest dreams. So be patient, trust in His perfect timing, and keep believing. Even in your struggles, His promise resounds. Something greater is on its way. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your unending grace. In moments of doubt, help me to trust in your perfect timing. Grant me the patience to wait, the faith to believe, and the humility to recognize that your plan for me is far greater than anything I could ask for. In Jesus' name, amen.
Guys, understand your identity because, you know, yesterday I'm cutting trees. I'm up at Timber Lakes. And I got three guys working with me, and they brought a new guy in named Ryan. I'm like, Ryan, okay, I haven't met you. How you doing? And I just automatically said, are you a believer? Because everybody on my little climbing team is a believer. I don't know why. It's just kind of we're attracted to each other. I don't know. And I said, are you a believer? He says, yes, I'm a believer. Well, you know I'm going to pin him down a little bit later and ask him what he means by that. And so I pin him down a little bit later. And this is how messed up religion has got us, people. This is how messed up religion has got us. Well, I was born LDS. Okay, we all know what that means. And then I progressed into Catholicism. And I'm like, we need to talk. We need to have a talk. You went from one religion to another religion. And it's just how messed up people are. And it's how messed up I was for many, many years. Just believing that, you know, I got to do this. I got to do that. I can't do this. I can't do that. Instead of learning to live and walk in His Spirit by His grace and by His mercy. You know, instead of learning that I'm forgiven and now I can forgive others. Instead of learning that I'm loved and now I can love others. You can't truly love anybody until you felt the love of God. You can't. You can love conditionally. I love you, Teresa, if, you know, you cut my grass every Saturday. Or I love you, Joey, if you fix my car when it's broken. And we're going to see this when we go into John. These people have just seen this miracle feeding the 5,000. And they're going to follow Jesus. And Jesus knows their heart. And Jesus, just like Jesus knows your heart today, you can't fool Him. You can't fool Him. You can fake it and try to make it, but it ain't going to happen. God knows your heart. And He knows who His own are. And we hear His voice. And we know when the voice of God speaks. Tanya, come up. It's your turn. And so they feed the 5,000. Jesus is going to call them out and say, why are you following me? I know why you're following me, because I fed you yesterday. You got your stomach full. Now you're happy. That's why you're following me. Instead of following me for who I am, understanding who I am. And we're going to see that. If we revisit that miracle real quick, we talked about a couple of things. Let's revisit that before we go into Jesus walking on the water. And the whole process here is Jesus, we just sang about the water to wine. The whole process here is Jesus is not coming down here to show out. He's not coming down here to, you know, entertain us and to feed us physically. He's coming down to reveal who he is. He is the Son of the living God. He is going to reveal the Father to us. No one's seen the Father but the Son. He says, I'm going to show you who the Father is. Look at me. I am the Father. I and the Father are one. Now I've come down to reveal the Father to you. God is spirit. We must worship him in spirit and truth. That means we must worship him. We don't worship him by doing rituals and religion. In fact, it's offensive to God, as it has become offensive to me. You know, don't tell me I can't do anything on a Sabbath day. Jesus is my Sabbath. Amen? Don't tell me I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to pray a certain way, I got to kiss a saint when I walk in the church, I got to stand in line to get the holy water on me. Don't tell me all that garbage. I want to hear how God loves me and his revelation for me. And this is what Jesus is trying to show the people, is by turning the water to wine, that got their attention, don't you think? And not only did he do it, he said, you save the best for last. And then we get along to the other miracles, and he heals the lame man. Now you got a lame man walking around in town that's been ill for 38 years. And they've got no answer. And they refuse to believe. And Jesus is going to call them out here in a minute and say, you refuse to believe. It's not that I haven't given you opportunities to know who I am. In fact, he's going to call them out a little later and say, had you known Abraham, because they're going to say, we're sons of Abraham. Let's get something clear real quick, guys. Who's sons of Abraham? We are. Who is spiritually Israel? We are. The Israel we know over there, the nation of Israel that we know as a modern Israel, is the spirit of the Antichrist. They hate Jesus. They deny he ever even came. We are the New Jerusalem. We are in the Spirit of God. God even talks about it. He says, I'm going to call people that were not my people, my people. And that's the mystery of the gospel, is that he came first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. So let's get an even more understanding of who we are in Christ. Who are the chosen? You and I. We are the chosen. Why? Because we believe in the one and only Son of God. That's what makes us chosen. The Jews in the Old Testament were the elect. Now we are the elect. Whoever believes. You can be a Jew and believe. This crosses all cultural, national, race. To all, I will bless all in Abraham and to his seed, meaning Jesus Christ, all nations will be blessed. Not just one nation, all nations. So if you are of Jesus, you are chosen, you are elected, you're redeemed, you're washed, you're clean, you're holy, you're blameless, you're righteous. Woo! Understand it. Because we've been lied to. You're only righteous if you do certain things. Maria, cook my dinner, wash my clothes, and you will become righteous, like me. That's religion. That's a bunch of garbage. So let's go into Jesus walking on the water, because he's just done this miracle, and it says they were filled, and they even gathered up the other loaves that none should be lost. And that's another just Jesus sermon right there. Nobody's going to be lost. None of us. Once you believe, he's got you. I hear it all the time. You can see it on TikTok. You can see it on social media all the time. People talking about, oh, you can lose your salvation. You can walk away from God. No, you can't. You're born again. You're redeemed. You're a new creation in God. You are secure. We have to fight this every day thinking, well, maybe God doesn't love me. Now you're looking at your performance. Now you're looking at your performance and you're looking at other people, and now you get very judgmental. How many religious people we know out there that are very judgmental? How many times have I talked to somebody out there somewhere that will not walk foot in a church because they say, I'm not good enough to come into that church? Or those people will judge me. Jesus said himself, I judge no one. I accuse no one. There is one that accuses you, Moses. In other words, if you want to go back under the law, then the law will accuse you because you're not good enough. But the law pointed to who? Jesus. The entire Ten Commandments, the entire 603 other commandments in the Old Testament pointed to one person, Jesus Christ. The entire Bible is written of him. The volume of the book is written of who? Jesus. From Genesis to Revelation. He's coming, he's coming. He came. He died. He paid our sin debt. He's coming again. Now don't let me blow all the theories out in one sermon, but Jesus never refers to a rapture. I'm sorry, people. Jesus never refers to a rapture. He refers to a second coming. I'm coming again. I'm coming again. We can make up all these theories and debate them all day long, but I'm looking forward to his coming again. And if he doesn't come in my lifetime, guess what? I'm going to be with him. Amen? Amen. But as we go into John, it says, so Jesus in verse 15, chapter 6, so Jesus, knowing that they were going to come and take him by force to make him king. Now, here's the problem, guys. We're looking for, and it's we're guilty of it today. I was visiting with some people this morning before church. I stopped by their house on the way in. And they were disappointed and they weren't going to church today because the pastor didn't talk enough about Charlie Kirk. I'm sorry, Charlie Kirk was a great guy, but he's not Jesus. I didn't come to hear about Charlie Kirk. And I'm trying to tell this guy, why do you want to go to church to hear about Charlie Kirk? All you got to do is turn on Fox News, CNN, whatever news you want to turn on. It's not about politics. But we try to make it, we're still trying to make Trump or Biden or the next possible person. He's going to save us. No, they're not. They're men. If anything, they're going to destroy us. We don't worship politicians. We don't put people on pedestals and say, oh, what a great person that is. We look at Jesus. When we look at Jesus, everybody shuts their mouth. He silences everyone. Even the Pope. I love the Pope. I got nothing against. I tell you all the time, I get taken wrong. You're against the Mormons. You're against Catholics. I'm not against anybody. I love everybody. I want everybody to get out of their little, I want them to open their eyes to who God is. God's a loving God. He loves you so much, Chloe. He cannot take his eyes off of you. He's like doing this to you all the time. Where are you going? What are you doing? I'm with you. I got you. Look at her. She's sliding down in her seat now. I embarrassed you enough. I'm sorry. Now she won't come back. She'll be like, hey, preacher embarrassed me. My dad used to embarrass me in church too. He'd call me out and say, well, I was with Charles the other day. And I said, oh, Dad, don't tell that story. But they're trying to make him king. They want someone in the flesh. And here's our problem, guys. We've got to quit thinking the flesh. We've got to think in the spirit. Because if you think in the spirit, you'll quit your anxiousness. You'll quit worrying about tomorrow. Because you'll know God's got a good future for you. When I was you girls' age, I would worry all the time. And you kids' age, I would worry all the time. How am I going to get money when I get older? How am I going to get... God said, Jesus says himself, don't worry about the look at the flowers in the field. Look at the birds in the air. They neither sow nor reap, but yet your Father gives them good things. And I was talking to another friend of mine, Daniel Sadowski. He used to be a missionary with us down in Colombia. He was my interpreter, and he did an okay job, but I got mad at him a few times. I'm like, Daniel, if you can't interpret better than this, I'm going to fire you. He's like, well, who are you going to get? Who else are you going to get, Chuck? I'm like, God sent you. He'll send another. Okay. But he's doing fine. He's about to have a baby, but he calls me up, and he feels really bad. He feels emasculated because he can't support his family right now, and he's having to have help from his dad. I said, well, don't feel so bad. Why are you feeling bad? You know, everybody needs help every now and then. Everybody, it's a tough world out there. It costs a lot of money if you hadn't looked around to even buy a house nowadays, much less to put food on a table. So we're called to help each other out, right? He was just feeling bad, and he says, well, Chuck, I just don't, you know, I'm kind of depressed, and I'm kind of, and I said, it's going to be okay, Daniel. God's got good things planned for you. You know what he said? The next thing he said was, I knew you were going to say that. I said, then why did you call me? If you already knew what I was going to say, why did you call me? Well, you just need to be reminded. How many people need to be reminded? Raise your hand. We need to be reminded who we are and how much God loves us and what He's going to do, what He's already done, where we're going, what our future is. We walk in the Spirit, we don't walk in the flesh. In other words, we're already alive for eternity. You can kill the body. You can't kill the spirit, the soul. We're going to be with Him. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. How many people have died lately? Vody Bachman, Charlie Kirk, the president of the LDS Church died, I think, today or something. You know, so it makes us think. Every time someone dies, it makes us think. Where did that person go? Were they a believer? Were they not? It's as simple as that. Did they believe in the Son? Did they believe they had everlasting life? If they didn't, they don't have everlasting life. It's not about how you look, how you perform, if you were the president of whatever, or if you weren't the president of whatever. What's in your heart? Jesus, in your heart. And so they're trying to take Him by king. So he's withdrew Himself to the mountain by Himself alone. It says He withdrew to the mountain by Himself alone. How many people want to do that every now and then? Jeff, me too. I'm nodding. I'm like, I need to just go somewhere and be alone. And I know Maria will agree with me on this. Last night, I'll tell them myself, I'm so overwhelmed. My neighbors had a party, a barbecue, because they're new, and they invited everybody. I told Maria, I just don't feel like being social right now. I just do not feel like talking to one other person right now. I need to sit here and read my Bible and study and relax, because I've been all week long going, 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 going. At some point, you have to stop, walk up on the mountain and just sit down on a rock. Get away from it all. All the lies, all the propaganda, all the expectations, all the responsibilities. It can just overwhelm you. We got to remember who we are. So Jesus Himself is up on this mountain. And it says, now when evening came, His disciples went down to the sea. And after getting into a boat, they began to cross the sea to Capernaum. It had already become dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. And I was reading over that, and I said, they're going to leave Jesus. These guys are getting in a boat, and they're leaving. I said, I don't know. Maybe we should wait on Jesus. You think they pondered that for a minute? Maybe we should wait on Him. He's been up on the mountain, but now it's getting dark, and I guess we'll leave without Him. So they did. They left Jesus. It's funny. Not for long, because Jesus is going to come looking for them. It's another thing. And that's another point too. It's like, you think you can leave Jesus? You can't leave Him. His love's too good. You think you can get in your small boat with your other disciples? And you know what? He's up on the mountain. He's not paying attention right now. We're just going to leave Him. I'm going to come get you. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the one that's going to throw so much goodness on you, you're not going to begin to understand it. And so they said, the sea was stirred up because a strong wind was blowing. So they're painting the picture here. And John's painting the picture here. And Matthew, Mark, and John all talk about this happening, Jesus walking on the water, but they all talk about it from different perspectives. John's not going to mention Peter getting out of the boat and walking. So some people will say, oh, it's three different events, but I tend to believe it was the same event. Just like you witness a car wreck. We witness a car wreck out here at the intersection, and you're standing on one corner, I'm standing on another corner, and somebody else is standing on another corner. We all see it from different perspectives. And so the Gospels, when they were being written, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Luke's the only one who doesn't mention this. But Matthew, Mark, and John have Jesus walking on the water, but with different accounts. And so here's John's account of it. It says, there was a strong wind, and the storm was blowing. And they rowed out about 25 or 30 stadia. Now, why these Bibles do this, I don't know. What is a stadia? You know, I'm like, well, I understand they're trying to translate as close as they can to the original Greek. But now I got to go Google what a stadia is. Well, a stadia was about 600 feet. And so I added it up, and I'm not a mathematician, but he was about a quarter to a half a mile. They were about a quarter to a half a mile out. So pretty good ways off the shore. And it says they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near to the boat. Now, wait a second. We just left this dude. He was on the mountain. It's not like they had iPhones, guys. Hey, Jesus, it's getting dark. We got to go. Where are you at? They couldn't text him. They couldn't call him. He's just out there somewhere. And they left him. And they're going across this stormy sea. And then they see Jesus walking on the water. Now, here's just another way of Jesus telling them who I am. Now, what amazes me is that the educated, learned Pharisees of the day could not see, after all these miracles right in front of your face, the water to wine, the lame man walking who'd been lame for 38 years, and now he's walking on water. He just fed 5,000 people. And by the way, remember what he asked Philip? He said, Philip, where are we going to get food for these people? In other words, looking to another, what's man going to do? What's man going to do for you? Nothing. Let me show you what I'm going to do. I'm going to feed everybody here. And they're going to be so full, they're going to follow me the next day wanting some more food. And I'm going to feed them, show them who I am. I am the bread of life. Quit looking in the physical again. Look at me. Look at Jesus. And so they're in this storm, and he says, and notice what happens next. They saw him walking on the sea, drawing near to the boat, and they were frightened. Now I'm going to give you another scriptural basis of why you never need to be frightened of God as a believer. If you're an unbeliever, you better be severely frightened, because the wrath of God remains on you. But if you're a believer, here's another reason why you never need to be frightened of your daddy. He's a good father. Because immediately he says, they were frightened, but he said to them, it is I. They heard his voice. They recognized his voice. What did he say? My sheep will hear my voice. They will recognize my voice. So they're looking out, they're on the boat, and it's stormy, and they see Jesus, but they're scared. He's walking on water. How can somebody do this? That would be terrifying. And he says, it is I. Do not be afraid. How many people need Jesus to show up in your life right now and be reminded of that? It is I. Do not be afraid. You're with me. I am with you. We walk through this life together. Don't think for one minute what's happening to you, Jesus doesn't know. What's happening to you, what's going on in your personal life right now, he's that intimately acquainted with you. And so he says, don't be afraid. So they were willing to receive him in the boat. There's that willing heart, guys. Are you willing to receive him in your boat if you haven't already? Amen. I received him into my boat years ago. And I've been through some stormy waters and some rough seas. And every time I have to remember his voice saying, it is I. Do not be afraid. I am with you even unto the ends of the earth, he says. I will not leave you abandoned. I will come to you. He's there. He's one step away. But we get ourselves occupied and preoccupied with all the struggles and all the pressures and all the anxieties of life, and we forget who we are. and how much God loves us. We forget it. And so he says, the boat was at the land. Immediately, the boat was at the land to which they were going. Immediately. On the next day, the crowd which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other small boat there except one, and that Jesus had not entered with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Now they're getting curious. How'd Jesus get over here? Nobody saw him get in the boat. How did he get over here? Well, he walked on the water. And then he got in the boat. Oh, who can do that? Only God. But you still don't believe? They're still not going to believe. And so they're going to get more and more, and then they're going to start pressing him. As we go into more of John, they're going to start pressing him. I want to see a miracle. I want to see something. I want to see something. I want to feel something. And Jesus is going to say, I've been here with you all this time, and you don't know me. Abraham, the one you believe in, wrote about me. Moses wrote about me. All through the Old Testament, it testifies of me. He was Melchizedek. He was the one, the king of Salem, the king of peace. He was that one. And so other small boats came from Tiberias near to the place where they ate the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the small boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. So they understand now the disciples are gone, Jesus is gone, and they're looking for Jesus. And they realized he took off. They left. Where'd they go? Let's go find out. So when they found him on the other side, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. How many of us have that small of an impression of God? I used to have it. I used to have that small of faith in God. Like, as long as you're blessing me, God, I love you. As long as you're doing what I think you should be doing, God, I love you. What can you do for me? What can you do for me? It was all that selfish intaking of love. You know, just lavish me with all these blessings, Lord, and I'll continue to love you. And this is what Jesus is calling out their hearts. He says, you're following me because I satisfied you for a moment. That's flesh. That's flesh. Jesus is going to come along, and he told the woman at the well, he said, I'm going to give you the living water where you will never thirst again. Let me have some of this. I'm he. I'm going to satisfy every earning you've ever had, every yearning you've ever had. But you're not trusting in me. You're not abiding in me. And he said, so he's calling them out here, and he says, do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will make you work for? No, will give to you. Did you catch that? The Son of Man will give to you. And notice, reflecting back on the 5,000, when he had them sit down, where did he have them sit down? Remember? In a grassy area, in a nicer, not on a bunch of rocks and sticks and briars, in a nice, grassy, comfortable place. And what did they do to earn the food that he gave them? Nothing. Nothing. He said, watch what I'm going to do for you. Have a seat. I'm going to prepare this meal for you. Here it is. Now, that's one lesson. This is who I am. I'm God. Now, don't seek after me for this food, but seek after me for the eternal food. Therefore, they said to him, what should we do that we may work the works of God? You ever ask yourself that question? What should we do that we may work the works of God? I'm like, wow, who could possibly do the works of God? Who could possibly do that? There was only one that did that, and he finished it. And then, so he says, this is the work of God. You ready for this? Write this down. John chapter 6, verse 29. If anybody ever says, what are the works of God? How do I do the works of God? Answer them right here. John 6, 29. This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent. Wow, I can do that. I can't obey those 613 commandments. I can't be religious. I can't go to church that much. I can't give money. I can't do anything, but I can believe in him. I can believe in the one he sent. There's no other way to the Father but through the Son. How many times does he say this? And then he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one. So what do to do the works of God? Everybody together. Believe in the one whom he sent. So how many people are doing the works of God today? Raise your hand. Amen. We are doing the works of God. There's nothing more we are to do. Now, I'm not saying God may have put it on your heart to do something special. That's fine. God is talented, given us all talents and all different abilities. So when we walk, we're walking in the works of God. We're walking in our belief. We're walking in our belief. Just like I asked pretty much everybody that works on my team, are you a believer? I'm not going to treat you any different if you say no. But I'm just going to tell you what I believe and what my faith is. Daxton is on one today. We love you, man. But this is where religion gets us, guys. It says, you got to do this. You got to do that. You got to do it. That's what's called a burden. That's what's called oppression. And that's what's called religion. That's why I call our church a church without religion. Amen. We're free. We're free. And then I have people take me, oh, bro, you can do whatever you want to do. What do you want to do? What do you want to do? Reveal, test your heart. What do you want to do? I want to love people. I want to show compassion. I want to show forgiveness. I want to show mercy. Oh, wow, you want to do what Jesus did. All of a sudden, you want to do what Jesus did. You want to live that abundant life? He's promised that. Here. You know, I used to make fun of, who was it, wrote the book, Have Your Best Life Now. Bodie Bachman used to call him Smiling. He's from Texas. What's his name? I forget. Joel Osteen. You used to call him Smiling Joel. Smiling Joel Osteen. And I used to make fun of the book, and then I started realizing, no, he's right. God wants you to have your best now, and the best is yet to come. And he wants you to live a life now abundantly, not bound up and walking around in false humility, like I've got to do all this stuff and I've got to work, where God will love me. Instead of understanding God loves me just like I am, with all my faults and imperfections, there's not one thing I have to do. And God is not in love with a future version of you. I love that. I used to think God was only in love with a future version of me. Only when I got my act together, and when I started praying more, and when I started reading my Bible more, when I started going to church more, when I started giving more, God would smile on me. Then I realized, no, he's been smiling on me the whole time. Just because I'm his. Take that away this week, guys. Understand, God is smiling at you. Everybody smile. Not a fake smile, a real smile. Religion is the fake smile. I'm smiling, but I'm not really happy because I don't really know who he is. And because I feel like I got to do all. No, you don't have to do nothing. God just loves you. God just loves you. And he's going to lavish his love upon you. We just need to listen. We just need to listen and walk. Walk into good works. Walk forward. Keep doing our thing. Keep shining the light. Okay, God's going to bring who he's going to bring. We don't need to argue with anybody. We don't need to fight with anybody. We need to pray for people. We need to love on people. Nobody ever got into heaven from an argument. Well, you don't believe in Calvinism? You're going to hell. You don't believe in the rapture? You're going to hell. Hey, guys, it's about love. His love manifested in us, through us, to someone else to understand, you know what? I can see God loves me. I can see He wants me. He cherishes me. I can see now that He has made me righteous. He's done it. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this word. Thank You for another time to come together and love on each other and be an encouragement to each other. And just we pray, Lord, as we go forward, You just keep showing us the way, Your way. Always shining the light. In Jesus' name, amen.